Well, good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here today at Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And on behalf of Hope Student Ministries, thank you for two things. One, your prayer support for us as you have been praying for us before we go and while we're away, but also for your financial support. Without that, we probably wouldn't be going, but we know that where God's working, He'll provide, and He did. And so we're just so excited to be able to go. We leave this afternoon around 3 o'clock, and so if you remember 3 o'clock on June, it's July, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's been a long week. But today what we want to do is we want to take some time in God's Word, and we're continuing our series, All Part of the Plan. And we've been looking in the books of Romans, chapters 9, 10, and then for the rest of the month after today, we're going to be finishing out our series in chapter 11. Now, last week, we took some time and talked about beautiful feet, and we said that Christ is the cornerstone of our lives. And we also said that when we call out to God, He will save us, and that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, have been sent to share a great message. Now, for this morning, how many of you, whether it was growing up or maybe even now, that you've been told at times that you're stubborn? Okay. Or maybe another word for it is bullheaded or obstinate or strong-willed. I remember as a kid, my mom would tell me sometimes, she would say, Jeff, you can be as stubborn as a mule. And I took pride in that, you know. So when raising our daughter, there would be times I'd call my mom and say, Mom, was I ever like this? And she'd say, no, you're absolutely worse, you know. And so why I share that with us this morning is because that's where we want to go. We want to talk about this idea of stubborn. Now, if you've ever saw any e-cards online, has anyone seen those? And sometimes they have like one sarcasm. And so, Jeremy, if you pop those up, like the first one says this, that being stubborn means never having to say you're sorry. And the second one says, I'm not stubborn, it's just that the way you do things is stupid. And so, you know, when we look at this passage today in Romans, and as we've been going through our whole series, All a Part of the Plan, we see that God used one nation, Israel, to bring about Jesus Christ into the world. And yet, what God was saying is that everything that I have established was a part of a plan. And that in this plan, there was my son to come into the world to save those who were lost. And he said, it's going to be by faith that we have this beautiful relationship, that Jesus brought about something new, that Jesus brought about eternal life. And yet the nation, God's people, there were some within Israel who were rejecting that. And so if you have your outlines this morning, they're in the bulletin, but I'd like to start off by saying this as we begin, is that God extended His hand in spite of what we do. God extended His hand in spite of what we do. The Bible says in Isaiah 65, verse 2, it says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. You know, for you and I, there are times that we tell God that it's my way, God, highway. And that I have this whole thing called life down to a science. And that I don't need you. Thank you for taking care of me up to this point, but I have it from here. But yet what we're going to see today is the hope of the gospel. Is that even when we turned our backs on God, even when we crossed our arms and say, we got it figured out, God still reached out. And when He reached out, He offered salvation to those who would call on Him and turn to Him and believe. And so as we get into our passage this morning, what we're going to see here is that chapter 10 ends similarly to how chapter 9 ended in Romans. It's that God's rejection of Israel was because of their unbelief. So if you have your Bible this morning, let's turn together to Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at Romans chapter 10, verses 16 through 21. 16 through 21, beginning in verse 16, it says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I asked, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Again I asked, did not Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held up my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. And even though the door of salvation was open for the Jews and then to the Gentiles, the majority within Israel still refused to believe in Jesus Christ. So what we want to do this morning together is we want to take a look at this, and then we want to ask the question, what does this mean for us today? And when we ask that question, we're going to take some time to talk about embracing Jesus. And so beginning in verse 16 and 17, we hear about a message. And see, in this message, we've talked about throughout the series is the good news of Jesus Christ. But we also said throughout our series that there are going to be individuals maybe that we know or in this world today who are going to reject the person of Jesus Christ. And what Paul is speaking of, he is referring back to the prophet Isaiah. And if you remember, a prophet is someone who spoke for God. And the question was, Lord, who has believed our message? Who has believed that salvation is coming? That there won't be oppression forever. And what we see here is this is referring back to Isaiah chapter 53, and is speaking of the suffering servant, which we're going to look at in just a moment. But really the question is this message getting through? And so the question is, how does faith come? We see it comes by hearing the message of Jesus. But how do people hear? Someone telling them. As we learned last week, there may be people in our lives who we've gotten to know, and we've never just shared who we believe about the person of Jesus Christ, and over time it could become awkward, can it? But if someone doesn't tell someone about it, then they won't know about it, will they? It's like, have you ever watched a documentary on TV? Maybe it's about an individual or a company or a sports team. And I have, and there's people that are like, oh, that's interesting. I'd like to check that out. And then I begin to watch it, and I'm going, wow, I never knew that they had this struggle. Or I never knew that this happened in their lives, that this is why they do what they do today, or this is why this company made the decision to go that route. But I didn't know until I found out, right? And so that's what we're seeing here. Is that there was a nation that God chose, a people God chose for himself, and they rejected that message. Not all, but some. And so God, as we're going to see in just a few moments, he's saying, listen, I'm going to make this available to all, those who are outside of Judaism. So really, was the message getting through? Not to all. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says this. It says, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. This is speaking of Israel. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. See, in our world today, that there are different ideas about who God is or who Jesus is. And there are even ideas of like, you know, well, if you're just good, you'll get to heaven. Or there's just a certain way. If you just behave this way or act that way, then it's okay. It's cool. But what we understand here at Hope Community Church, that it is through Jesus Christ and is by faith in what he has done. We mentioned the suffering servant a few moments ago, and in Isaiah chapter 53, this is speaking of Jesus and him giving up his life for humankind. And it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, in other words, our sin. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. In other words, that at that moment when humankind decided to say, God, we will be God of our own lives and we don't need you, that's when sin entered into the world. It broke relationship with God the Father. And the punishment was God's wrath or God's anger towards sin. And God could have turned his back on us and become stubborn and says, well, you get what you deserve. And yet what we see here is he said, there will be somebody who is a substitute for humankind. And see, God's plan went into action in Genesis chapter 3. But we see here in Isaiah chapter 53 that what Christ has done, and when we believe by faith in the work of God, it says we will have peace with God. We will be justified by God. We will be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And it ends by saying this, by his wounds, we are healed. Christ took on a physical death to give us a picture of what happens. We are spiritually dead. We've said before that sin doesn't make you bad, it makes you dead. But it is through faith in Jesus Christ that we are brought back to life. We are raised from the dead. But Jesus used this physical act to show us that by his grace and through his mercy, that there was hope. And that hope had a name, and his name is Jesus. Moving on, in verses 18 and 19, Paul continues and talks about hear and understand. Paul asked two questions. Did they not hear, and did Israel understand? The first question we're gonna take on is, did they not hear? And Paul says they did hear about this message. And he goes to Psalm 19, verse 4, where it says, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. What God did in the beginning was he revealed himself through creation. And what Paul was doing here was he was bringing in the gospel proclamation. And he says, there were many, Paul was speaking of himself, there are many, including myself, who were sharing the good news. But Israel could not say that they didn't know, because they did know about this person called Jesus. And the second question was, did Israel not understand? Well, they did. Paul goes on and uses Deuteronomy 32:21, and where he says, they made me jealous by what is no God and angered me with their worthless idols. I will make them envious by those who are not a people. I will make them angry by a nation who has no understanding. You see, God told the nation of Israel, he said, I will be your God and you will be my people. This is a mutual relationship that we have here. And yet, even Paul wrote in the beginning of Romans, he said that the people began to worship the created things rather than its creator. The things that God had given to them, they said they were more important than the one true God. And in the New Testament, Paul finds further fulfillment of this verse in Deuteronomy. And that it went from, again, the nation of Israel to the Gentiles, those outside of Judaism. And see, again, as we said at the beginning, it was rejection and rebellion that caused God to say, I will look for other people. It wasn't that he didn't love them anymore, but it was just all a part of the plan. And so we see in verses 20 and 21 this sense of waiting. And this sense of waiting is that God is here. That God is here. What was happening is that the Jews weren't teaching the Gentiles about God. And so, obviously, they didn't know God. But here's what God did. God revealed himself to the Gentiles in the person of Jesus. You see, God would save those who were outside of Judaism. But yet, the Jews continued to express unbelief, and they wanted to do things their way. You see, they continued to express unbelief because of their sinful attitudes. And their sinful attitudes kept them from hearing and understanding the gospel. And as a result of that, they wouldn't obey the good news. If you remember that we've talked throughout our series that they were saying, no, I have to obey every single command and law. That will make me right with God. And through Jesus, what we've seen is Paul is telling, no, it is by faith. And when it is by faith in Christ, you will obey the things of God, because the things of God will push you to a Savior, and your Savior will push you to doing the things of God and the things that please him. And see, even in the midst of rejection, even in the midst of stubbornness, even in the midst of unbelief, God was not going to stop his plan from coming and going through. And why was that? Because in 1 Samuel 12:22, it says this, for the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. And as we move into chapter 11, we're going to see this all play out. But I loved what it said. It was for God's great name. His reputation was on the line. He's the one that was going to take the glory for bringing a people to himself. What it was that God was like a father. and he was saying to his children, just come to me. And what you have, I have something better. What you think is good, I have something that's greater. But just come to me. My arms are open wide. Don't continue to keep your arms crossed. Don't continue to keep your back turned to me. Because what God had, as we've learned throughout this whole series, is that he had the gift, the free gift of salvation to those who would turn to him. So God extended his hand in spite of what we do. And so what we want to do this morning is take a few moments together and look at this idea of embracing Jesus. Let's talk together about embracing Jesus. Instead of living stubborn, let's see how our lives can respond to God who is extending his hand. I want to share with you just two things this morning in relation to embracing Jesus. The first is this, is that we have a story to tell. We have a story to tell. And the story that I'm speaking of is God's story of rescue, God's story of redemption and salvation. And that is God's overall story. And yet, for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we have a chapter in that story of what God did in our lives. And for many of us, including myself, there are probably things that we could go on for hours about and talk about, can't we? Like whether it's vacations we've been on, or things that we are interested in, or hobbies, or grandkids, or kids, or family, or whatever it may be, there are things that we could go on and on and on about. And as some of you who know me, it's Disney. So I could just go on all day, all night about it. But yet then I ask the question of myself, what am I doing with the greatest story ever told that changed my life forever? Now, am I saying here that once you go out, make sure you get on that local street corner, or you make sure that you're, you know, thumping people with the Bible and telling them they need Jesus? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, we have a story that is special. We are the second greatest story ever told because it's what God did in us. And now it's what he wants to do through us. If you remember, over the last several weeks, we had Vacation Bible School, and now the youth are getting ready to go to Harrisburg. Now, before any of this ever happened, with VBS in particular, that each of the different stations was given a handbook. And they were told, this is the things that you do when you're up front, and here's the drama scripts. Okay, so when you go down to this one, here's the script that you'll do for the dramas each night. And here's what you'll say when you're in crafts. Here's what you'll say when you're in the snack. What you'll say when you're in games. So everybody was getting prepared, and they're reading, and they're trying to memorize all the quotes of the day. And the same with Harrisburg. We have taken weeks to prepare to get ready, to prepare to see what type of people we will encounter, to understand that we need to be a team who has unity, that we need to be a team that is selfless. But we had that all. They gave it to us, and we're ready to go. Will we get it right every single turn and every single moment? Maybe not. But we know that we have been given a script to be ready to go and do that. You see, it's just like in our own lives. When we look to the source, who is Christ, we know that he is our point of reference. We know that there is power in the name of Jesus. We just need to go to the script. You and I have a script. Okay, let me try that again. You and I have a script. And it's just a matter of, if I have a story to tell, I need to get to know the storyteller. And I need to know how to share this good news to the world around me. Because there's times, I don't know about you, but I may have felt ill-equipped or embarrassed about sharing who Jesus is, or awkward, or just not ready to do it. But yet, what if we began to take it and just make it a natural part of our lives? Just a natural part. In other words, I frequent a Starbucks here locally. And there's a gentleman that I've gotten to know. And this gentleman, he's in there all the time. So whenever I get there, he's there. So I began to develop a relationship with him. And then there was one day where Tina and I were in there, and he shared with me, he says, yeah, I just want to let you know that I lost my wife to cancer about 9 years ago. I was like, whoa, that's pretty heavy. And I hadn't told him what I did for a living or anything. And so he was sharing about it, and he says, you know, and he began to share about his beliefs. And so I was like, wow, that's pretty wild over a cup of coffee. And I began to share the good news with him, that Christ is one who wants to give eternal life, that there is hope that is found in him, that you don't ever have to be afraid when you place your trust in him. And that was it. We were done. Have a great day. See you later. Nothing big happened, but it was bringing the good news. It was bringing my story that I can tell into my everyday life. Let's not think that our story can only be told here in the safety of our community of faith or safe in our own homes, and it's okay, but when we bring that a part of our everyday lives, we can do that. You see, when we embrace Jesus, what's going to happen is not only will others hear our story, but they will see it lived out in our lives. So where are you taking the script in your life? How is the good news changing you in your life, in your marriage, in your job, in your relationships? See, the good news is good news that Christ can save us for eternity, but also it's good news that he can be Lord of our lives. He can bring clarity to confusion. He can bring healing to brokenness. He can show us a direction that we may have never thought to go. And so we can embrace him. We can embrace Jesus, and we have a story to tell. The second is this, is that we have a faith to grow. We have a faith to grow. Recently, our family has purchased another car. And in the car, it has this screen on it. And it, on the screen is like this navigation system, which is pretty awesome. So if I want to go somewhere, I just put the destination in, and then it tells me it's going to take you this long. You'll be there at this time, and this is how many miles it's going to take. So when my daughter and I were going on a college visit recently, I put in the address and stuff, and we're driving along down the turnpike, and it's like, all right, now you have 99, 98, and going on, it says, you will be here by this time. And then we stop in traffic because there was construction. I was like, oh, we're not going to get there on time. And that just drives me nuts when you're not there on time. But anyway, then it recalculated everything. It says, you're going to be here at this time. It's going to take you, you still got this long to go. And so if you think about it, as our lives as followers of Jesus, we have a destination. And that destination is eternity with God. We will celebrate him forever. And what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this. Excuse me, wrong verse. It says in Philippians 1, verse 6, it says that he, God, who began a good work in you, will work at it until completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. So he is with us. He is faithful. He will show us who he is. He will reveal himself if we choose not to be stubborn, not to be strong-willed, not to be obstinate, and say, I got this whole thing covered, God. But we continue to go with him. And so what we want to do when we have a faith to grow is we develop our relationship. Because there are many times in our lives that we want the benefits of a relationship with God, or we want the benefits of a community of faith without putting any sweat equity into it. We just don't. We're like, God, why aren't you doing anything in my life? Well, what are you doing when it comes to being in his word? What are you doing when it comes to connecting with others who are followers of Jesus? What does it look like to be connected into your church here at Hope and to serve? And that's what we're talking about here. And so the Bible tells us now in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. But to anyone who comes to him and believes that he exists, he will reward those who earnestly seek him. That's God's word to us. So how does he reward us? In other words, when we continue to grow in God's grace and God's knowledge, he begins to reveal more of himself to us. And we continue to take small steps of faith that become bigger steps of faith. And I know it in my own life, going from just a guy who was volunteering in a youth ministry to talking to you today, moving from Georgia to Canada to Pennsylvania. but it's taking those steps. It's developing that relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. See, our motive needs to be one of desire to know God. Not just, yeah, I just want to know God and that's the goal. Cool, great. But to be willing to go on the journey with Him in the highs and the lows, in the good and the bad. And one of those ways that we can grow our faith is just simple. Here we go. If you were to read 3 chapters of the Bible a day, you could have it read in a year. Now, again, the goal is not reading the Bible in a year. The goal is getting to this in the person of Jesus Christ. You know what? Even for guys, this may be weird, but like I journal every once in a while. So it's not a diary. It's a journal. And it's amazing when you take time. Now I'm in the Psalms, and I'm just seeing how good and faithful God is. Not just how good and faithful God is, but how good and faithful God is to me. And to write those things down, and then I look back and go, whoa. At one time in my life, I would have said no to this, but now I'm saying yes. Or there's a time where I say, God, no way, you can't have this, and then I'm going, you can freely take it. And that's how we grow our faith. That's how we develop our relationship with Him. When we embrace Jesus, let's remember this, that He is with us on the journey. He doesn't leave us to ourselves and say, I'll wait till you get there. Good luck. But He goes with us. He is in us. And He wants to live through us. So when we embrace Him, we grow to become more like Him. And so God extended His hand in spite of what we do. As we began this morning, I showed you those e-cards about stubborn. And so I'm going to ask that the ushers, they're going to hand out some postcards for you to take home and to reflect upon and look at. And on one side of the cards, it says this. Being stubborn says, Jesus, I've got this covered. And on the other side says, embracing Jesus says, I cannot do this on my own. You see, we started out by saying that there was a nation that some still were stubborn, some still rebelled, some still unbelieved, but yet it's for those of us who by faith believe in what Jesus Christ has done, the Bible tells us that God will save us from eternal separation from Him. And so as you get those cards and as you're looking at them and reflecting upon them, the question that I have for you today is what are you going to choose when it comes to embracing Jesus? Are you going to be someone that says, you know what? This area of my life, you ain't having. Or you may turn your back to Him and say, you don't understand. Where were you when this went down? How can I believe in a God who's not faithful? Why do bad things happen? What does this all mean? I don't get this. Or we can choose to say, I embrace you, Jesus. I'm coming to you like a child to a father. And I don't have all the answers, but I do know the answer. That answer is found in you, in every single aspect of my life. And today I am willing to surrender it all for you. And I don't want to play games anymore, and I'm letting my hands down, and I'm turning back to you. I want a life that's centered around you. I want to lead my family where you are the center. I want my job to be as if I'm doing it to you. I want my relationships where people know that there is good news always. And so if that's where you are today, I want to encourage you to, whether it's myself or one of the elders, that you don't leave today without talking to one of us about what it looks like to embrace Jesus with your life. And we will be glad to talk with you and share with you. Or maybe even you're saying today, for the first time in my life, I want Him to be Lord of my life. I keep hearing about how He saved me, but I want to live for Him as He rules my heart. And that invitation is open for you as well. As we close this morning, I want to share a passage of Scripture with you that's found in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 23. It says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So I hope today that you see this passage and that you can say, I'm gonna hold on to the gospel that's been rooted and is established in my life to where you and I can say, and of which I, Jeff, have become a servant. Or end of which you have become a servant. Because it was God who extended his hand to us in spite of what we do. No matter how stubborn we were, no matter how rebellious we were, no matter how much we did not believe, you and I today do not have to live stubborn anymore. We can come and embrace Jesus because he is here and he is waiting. Father, we come to you this morning, and God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is in it. We thank you, God, that from the beginning you had a plan laid out of salvation and redemption. And Lord, there are many times in my life and maybe in our own lives where we choose to be stubborn, to be strong-willed, to be bullheaded towards you. But Father, I pray today that you would take these words that you have spoken through me, that each of us would choose to have you change and transform our heart and our lives. And maybe if it's just a small step, Lord, may you just give us the courage, give us the direction to go. Father, may we understand that when we share your story, we have nothing to be ashamed of, because you are not ashamed of us. Lord, may we make that choice to want to get to know you in a deeper way. Father, may in every aspect of our lives you be the center. Begin in my heart. Father, remove the things and get the things out of the way that don't need to be there. Whether it's barriers, whether it's things that we think about you or the wrong ideas we may have of you, that we look to your truth. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who is the one that by his wounds we are healed. May we live in the life that you have given us. May we not reject it. May we not continue to be people of unbelief, but that we would hold to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.